During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Monday, September 27th, 2021. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jay Gutierrez. Today on the show, we'll talk to Todd Lebo at 7 o'clock. Gary Lezak will give us the forecast just before 8. Then we will chat with Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star. Bill Moss will be with us at 9:05. And Adam Teicher from ESPN will be on the show at 9:30. All of those guests will talk about the Chiefs. And another disappointing loss for Kansas City as they lose 30-24 at Arrowhead Stadium to the Los Angeles Chargers. The Royals lose, or Chiefs lose a home divisional game, and they are now 1-2 and in last place in the AFC West, behind 2-3-0 teams, the Raiders, who win another overtime thriller, this time against the Dolphins. What a finish that was. Jacoby Brissett on fourth down ran a touchdown, and then and that was like with 3 seconds left on the clock, and then completed a pass for a successful two-point conversion to send that game into overtime. And then after the Raiders had kicked a field goal, the Dolphins converted a 4th-and-20 from deep in their own territory to keep that game alive, but then that was it. And the Raiders win. The Broncos have yet to play a good football team, but they're 3-0. You got to give them credit. You can only play who's in front of you, but I can't imagine a softer schedule at the Giants, at the Jags, and then the Jets, who are absolutely horrible. Things now change for the Broncos as the next stretch of games includes the Ravens, Steelers, Raiders, and Browns, although the Steelers suck also. But the Chiefs, and then they're behind the Chargers at 2-1. So the Chiefs are what their record says they are. They're 1-2, and they're in last place in this division, which is really, really disappointing and frustrating and unexpected. But, and I know that people will get frustrated hearing this, it's 3 games into the season, and I still think they'll end up winning the division. Maybe you think I'm crazy. Maybe it sounds crazy. I think the Broncos will clearly come back down to earth. The Chargers are good. They're going to be a problem. And that quarterback, I still remember when he came in and played well and people wanted Tyrod Taylor to keep playing. That's how old I am. But he's obviously a superstar, and he played like one yesterday. So I think the Broncos will come back down to earth. The Chargers are good. And the Raiders, I mean, I can't figure them out. They just keep winning, and they win another game yesterday that they very easily could have lost, so they deserve credit for coming through in a couple of close games where the Chiefs have not been able to come through in a couple of close games. And so the Raiders deserve to be 3-0. They're on top of the division with the Broncos right now, and the Chiefs are at the bottom at 1-2. Man, there's a lot to unpack. Glad we have 4 hours. Actually, I wish we had no hours to talk about this because I don't want to. And as you see, I'm wearing a shirt that says basketball because right now I don't like football. And I'm angry with football. I put a lot into football. I make a lot of sacrifices for football. I've done a lot of things for football. I've spent a lot of money on football. I've spent a lot of time on football. And football is not treating me very well the past couple of weeks, and I don't appreciate it. And so right now I'm mad at football. And I'm wearing my basketball sweatshirt because basketball has been very good to me. I've watched my girls play basketball, and for the most part, I do not cuss. And leave angry and then have to go for a walk by myself. And so I wear the sweatshirt in support of basketball because I don't know why football is doing this to me. I've had a great relationship with football over the years. Right now, football and I are not seeing eye to eye. It's very, it's been very traumatizing to watch the Mizzou defense and the Chiefs defense this year in back-to-back days. It's been very painful. And if you don't know, Missouri lost an overtime game at Boston College, which was quite an entertaining game, but I've had enough entertainment. I'd like to see some wins now. I mean, if you're just looking for entertainment value, I've been thoroughly entertained by Chiefs-Ravens, Chiefs-Chargers, Mizzou-Kentucky, Mizzou-Boston College. They've all been wild affairs, but they've all been losses, and so now I'm angry. And so football has, at least for the time, it seems it has turned its back on me. So
maybe you're just going through a little rough patch. It'll straighten itself out.
I don't know.
You and football.
Right now, football is being a bitch to me. And I don't think I deserve it. Not for everything I've done.
Right.
Not for everything that I've done. I put up with a lot over the years. And I thought we were past this. So I don't like it. So I'm not going to be speaking all week. I won't be speaking to football. I'll talk about it. And I don't know if I'll watch Monday Night Football. I might. You know, maybe what I'll do is take in this last week of baseball before it goes away.
Magic number 3.
Yeah.
We getting there, buddy.
Yep.
Is this going to be one of those things where you're gonna have to like communicate to football through Jake? Like, will you tell football that I said?
I don't want to tell football nothing now. I don't even want to communicate with football. Right now, football is so stupid. And football doesn't see it, but it is. So I've got that off my chest.
Let's do it.
Basketball.
I mean, now you know how it feels to be a Kansas fan all these years.
No, I don't. No, I do not. So, nope.
This is about the time of year Kansas fans usually start talking basketball.
I will remind you that I remember a young man told me that this weekend was still the chance that we could see all three local schools win.
I told
you the last time that this happened, I said, well, this will never happen again the rest of the year. Zero chance. Well, I'm looking at this weekend. Kansas plays at Duke, Mizzou plays at Boston College, and K-State plays at Oklahoma State. Yeah, there's just a chance there. Well, Nate, none of them won, so.
Did I say win? I meant lose. Yeah. All three lose.
There you go.
That's what I meant.
Well, there's plenty of chances
for
that to happen.
USA wins the Ryder Cup. Yeah.
There you go. Somehow that doesn't make me feel better.
Nope.
So not only did the three team, nobody won this
nobody.
Weekend.
Everybody's nope. a loser.
Nobody won this weekend.
At least Missouri kept theirs close. The other two weren't particularly close.
That was still
a knife
in the gut. Trust me. It was even worse when I found out, because we were watching the game, poor Phil and I, he took it on the chin this weekend.
Mm.
Listening to me rant and rave in those two games.
No thanks.
That's about 7 hours. He'll never get back.
Poor Phil.
And I told him this today, because in the overtime, Boston College got the ball first and scored. And I told him, look, here's the deal. Hopefully Drinkwitz will do it. But if Mizzou scores, and I thought they would, score a touchdown, they better go for two. Because then I don't want to get in that stupid, oh, no, second overtime, you just go for two. After the touchdown, no, you just go for the two. That's it. That's the new rule. So I want that to be the last time the Mizzou defense is on the field today, regardless of what happens. And of course, first play, they go for it all, and Bazelak throws an interception. And then after the game, Bazelak says, oh, yeah, we'd already decided we were going to go for two. Okay. was a salt in the wound. But to keep things in proper perspective, let's all hope that Andy Reid's okay.
Yeah.
So that's number one on the list before anything else. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should. Kansas City Chiefs, I'll just read from Adam Teicher's article. The Chiefs released a statement last night, but the Chiefs, we first found out that something was wrong or something was, Andy Reid didn't feel well, because after the game, Lebo and other people that were out there at Arrowhead Stadium covering the game tweeted out that Andy Reid did not feel well and was not going to be appearing at the postgame press conference, and assistant head coach Dave Tobe would be taking his place. And you're like, well, that's obviously not good. Okay. And according to Teicher's article, Reid was treated for dehydration and is expected to be fine, a source told ESPN's Dan Graziano. The Chiefs didn't specify in a statement on Sunday night what was wrong with Reid, only saying that he felt ill, and the team did say the coach is doing well, currently resting and in stable condition. He did leave in an ambulance, according to several reports, after the game. But one thing that does not go along with those reports, and again, the Chiefs sent out an official statement last night, and I'll just read the tweet form of that. Head coach Andy Reid felt ill at the conclusion of the game. He was evaluated by our medical staff in the locker room, and as a precaution, was transported to the University of Kansas Health System for further evaluation. Coach is doing well, currently resting, and in stable condition. Did you guys see Nick Jacobs retweeted it? And I retweeted it this morning. Jake, you might want to pull it off there. What Jay Glazer said.
Yes.
In that postgame show about Andy Reid.
Yeah.
That makes you a little more nervous. And I would imagine Jay Glazer, somebody with that reputation that has as many connections and sources as he does, wouldn't say something like that unless he knew it to be true. But, and we'll play that here in a little bit. But bottom line is this, I hope Andy Reid's okay, and that scares the hell out of you. So, I mean, that one regular season football loss pales in comparison to the health of the head coach. So, and it was hotter than hell, right, out there? I mean, football is not meant to be played in 91 degrees. And that it's totally makes sense if he was dehydrated and just didn't feel well. I mean, out in the heat for that long. And I hope that's it. Cross our fingers and hope that's all that it was. We'll play the clip from Jay Glazer when we come back. But, just hopefully, and that's the main takeaway. Everything else is secondary. Hopefully Andy Reid and his health, hopefully he is okay after having to go to the hospital to get checked out after the game. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the show. Okay, here's what NFL insider Jay Glazer said on the OT postgame show on Fox last night.
On a more serious note, Andy Reid, who we all love here on the show, had to get taken from the game to the hospital with a heart palpitations. Right now, Andy Reid at the hospital. Again, we love Andy Reid. Andy, we're praying for you. Obviously, we hope Andy will be totally fine.
Absolutely.
Even everybody loves Andy Reid. One of the most favorite guys in all the National Football League.
So he said heart palpitations, and then the graphic on Fox said Andy Reid rushed to Kansas City Hospital following game today after suffering chest pains. And that's, so if you're watching on TV, that's what that looked like. So that's a little bit of a different story than what the Chiefs released and what was said yesterday from some other sources. And look, I don't know. Nate doesn't know. Do you know?
Nope.
Jake doesn't know. I don't want to speak for you, but you don't know, right? Just go by what different reports are saying. And so that report is different, right? Has anyone else seen anything from any other insider or any other report that is similar to this?
No.
So, you know what we know. And that's what Jay Glazer said. And he has a pretty good success rate. He's a trusted NFL insider on Fox, and but that's obviously different than being dehydrated and just not feeling well.
Sure it is, and that's scary stuff. And I know they've said that this was an abundance of caution type thing, but bottom line was, guy was in an ambulance, and that, you know, that means somebody thought it was a good idea, you know, to take right. all those precautions. So, yeah, we just hope he's okay. Hope he'll be okay.
And anything after that is just speculation. We told you what the Chiefs released, told you what Jay Glazer said, and then most everyone else reporting that he's feeling fine. And so we will update you when we hear something official from the Chiefs or someone else that would know.
Yeah, and we'll have to wait and see. Is Andy Reid back addressing the media this week? Is he back in practice? We don't know any of the answers to those things.
Well, it's all speculation.
Until the week comes on.
Right. And so there's really no sense in spending time speculating on that. We just tell you what we know, and then we move on. So there, that is most important. That is in its own category, and that is far more important than any loss, any regular season, any football game, whatever. Okay? And so hopefully Andy Reid's going to be okay. Now, for the game itself, I mean, you don't really have to do any mental gymnastics to try to figure out what happened. The Chiefs gave the football away repeatedly. The Chiefs gave the football away four times, and they didn't create any turnovers. So they lost the turnover battle 4-0. And they lost the game 30-24. If they don't turn the football over, they don't lose the game. They turn the football over, and so they lost the game. Now, there's a lot within that bubble. Patrick Mahomes had another bad interception. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had another bad fumbler, or fumble, even though he's not a fumbler. He had another bad fumble, but that's not who he is, but... You know, another bad fumble. He had a fine game, but he had another bad fumble. Marcus Kemp should have caught a pass that might have been a touchdown on a no-look pass, and that led to an interception. So the throw was slightly behind him, but that's still on him. And Tyreek Hill had a fumble deep in Chargers territory. So it was. There's plenty of blame to go around, and the defense has trouble getting stops when they need to. And offenses have such a respect for the Chiefs' offense, and opposing offenses have such a lack of respect for the Chiefs' defense that I think it's to the point now they will go for it with a game on the line, fourth down, and whatever. And that was the right call yesterday by the Chargers. Even after the penalty, 4th and 9, you go for it. Because even if you kick the field goal, you're likely going to lose. I say that, but the Chiefs' offense has turned the football over at an alarming rate, so that doesn't seem as the sure thing that it's always been. But that's the way you got to play. You got to put pressure. You got to continue to put pressure on the Chiefs' offense to be perfect. Because the defense is not. And it's not going to be anytime soon. It's a liability. And yes, they played good in some spots. You know, what are your standards? They're not good enough. This defense is not good. It's not been good enough the first three games. And the offense wasn't good enough yesterday. You can't give the football away four times and expect to win a game against a team that's as good as the Chargers. All that said, and they still almost pulled it out. The Chargers had a brain fart of their own. They shouldn't have scored a touchdown with 30-some seconds left on the clock. You heard Tony Romo talking about it. You give the ball back. And look, there were a couple of, I mean, passes. The one pass to Tyreek Hill that was almost caught. Byron Pringle. When people are demanding that you play more and you're looking to gain the trust of your coaches and your quarterback, you can't have what you had yesterday. I don't know if you want to call them drops. One of them he sure should have caught. But I mean, hey, look, if you're put in a situation where you can make a big play and you fail two different times, that's not that ain't good. But there were a couple of big plays on that last drive that would have really made some things interesting. Point is, I couldn't believe the Chargers scored the touchdown and let the Chiefs have the ball back. I mean, it was, they did them a favor. They could have ended the game with no time left on the clock. And you saw the Chiefs at least had a shot there at the end, you know, if I'm a Chargers fan, too close for my comfort. But the Chargers didn't pay for it. The other things that are popping in my mind. Okay, so I've never worked for a TV broadcast of an NFL game, nor will I ever. Neither of you, Nate, but we have a guy that has.
Yeah, we do.
Explain this to me.
Who
else am I going to ask?
No, I've
I'm not going to ask him.
11 seasons.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
I sat in the truck for 11 years.
No, I mean, he worked for CBS football.
Yeah, I'm saying.
No, absolutely. What? Yeah.
He's been behind the curtain.
When you have a play that basically decides the game, a crucial pass interference call, that, I mean, you could say it decided the game, right?
It was a massive play.
Explain to me how they never show a replay of that. Explain that to me.
Well, especially when the officials apparently didn't call it on the right person. Right? Isn't that what Romo said?
Do you never show a replay of it, though?
I mean...
How does that happen?
It shouldn't, ever. I mean...
And there was enough time... Hey, by the way, this is a huge play here. Let's go back and see what was called against the Chiefs. How do you never replay that?
There's a couple things that can go into that, because it's not just... replays come off the director and producer. Now... Also, analysts can call for replays. They have a talkback button. They can say, hey, whoever was directing and producing that game, I think it's a Rickoff production, hey, Jimmy, I need that replay of that PI. You tell, and he'll call for it at tape. Tape will roll it up. They'll say, we got the replay for you, Romo, next dead ball, next, you know.
Isn't that pretty obvious, though, that you would have to, would you need the analyst to call for that replay?
No, but the thing is that when you roll that out, the broadcast two guys in the booth have to be on board, so they could be selling it to them and they could be calling them off. Meaning the director and producer could say, hey, we got that replay coming on too, we're going to roll it, and for some reason the analyst could call them off. I highly doubt that happens.
Now, give me a good reason why you wouldn't replay that. Where someone is, it's not important enough.
I don't think Romo is calling that one off because he himself thought it was a questionable
call. Correct. That's why I said that's highly unlikely. But yeah. I'm saying this is how it works.
This is how it could happen.
This is what's going on in the truck. The only good answer to your question is poor production. That is a poor production.
You got to show that replay.
Yes. That's a poor production.
That's the answer I wanted right there. See? I got it from him.
If you aren't doing your job, in my opinion, as a producer or director, if you're not shoving that replay into that monitor saying, hey, we got that. We're rolling
from
it.
Every angle, you got it.
Yeah.
Well, what was the situation? It was 4th and 9.
Yes.
If they don't get that,
the
Chiefs get the ball.
Game's going the other way.
Right. There's a good chance they're going to win. That very difficult to get a pass interference call that's more pivotal than that.
It's hard to imagine that you got. I mean, it's not like a crazy play just kept, like, one play after another. Like, there were several points in time.
Let's go back to that.
Yes.
That's pass interference.
Yep. Yes, sir.
There were many, right?
Yeah.
You can't get far enough away from that where it's no longer relevant.
Even after the touchdown, right?
And why are we here?
Right.
Let's look at that. 4th and 9 pass interference.
That's what I mean. Even after, there's plenty of time between the missed extra point.
Do they have an official that they can talk to? Don't they have a guy?
They do.
Hey, what's his, who's
Gene Stesator?
Stesator? Is he the guy?
You know, that's CBS's guy.
Whatever. Hey, Gene, take a look at this.
Explain what you see.
Hey, Gene, this just decided the game.
Especially that
good
crew.
Good call?
That crew has access to him anytime they want. That's the A crew.
I'll talk to you now. If you have a guy, if you have an expert that is there to analyze calls, do you think that's a good spot to use them? Chiefs lost the game. I'm bitching about something that has not. It's not going to change. But good God, what are we doing here? What was that?
Well, and I felt like that pass interference seemed questionable, even according to Tony Romo.
Well, I don't know. How do I know? I didn't see it.
That's what Tony Romo said.
I don't know who was. They don't know who was on.
The pass interference on Sorensen?
They said it was on Sorensen. Went anywhere around there. How's it on Sorensen?
Right.
I lost my mind. And Phil gets up and he goes, Sorensen did something away from the ball. I said, no, he didn't. I don't know what you're talking about. But maybe he did. Because you know why? Because they're not going to show a replay.
Well, it would have been different for holding, though.
I was sitting there with my buddy. I said, oh, man, last thing Sorensen needs right now is, he's already getting, like, he's already the public enemy number one in town, and now he's going to get blamed for a PI that looks like it wasn't even his fault, but they never showed it. Yeah, but then what I was going to say is then the Chiefs get the ball back, and it seemed like they had an appeal for a pass interference on at least two, if not three, of those passes that Mahomes threw. And even Romo's like, ah, that might have been PI right there.
Let me tell you. It would have been the Chiefs. Flags would have been flying from the
heavens.
Doesn't
it feel? It feels that way.
Sure.
It sure feels that way.
Sure it does.
That one that was it Tyreek Hill could have caught would have been tough. Sure seemed like he was getting interfered with the whole time. That ball.
I don't even care about that. Just show me the replay.
Yeah.
That's all. Just show me the replay. Chiefs lost. They deserve to lose. Show me the replay. That's just is it a minor gripe? It's kind of a major gripe, you know.
Well, I was screaming that while watching it. Let us see it again. Let us see. I wanted to know, like
if there's anything you're ever going to replay in an effing football game, I think it would be a pass interference on a fourth down play that basically decided the game or helped decide the game, pivotal, whatever you want to call it. Replay it. There's no argument for not replaying. You know what? We're going to move on here. No, you're not. No, you are not. You let me watch.
Yeah, if I were to give them like to try to defend them at all,
no,
I won't.
I mean, what?
Well,
biggest play of the game, they're not going to replay it. No,
they should have. That's the bottom line. They should have replayed it at some point.
What I
could picture happening is in a situation like that, you know, the biggest job, the number one job they have is to not miss any live action.
Right.
Right, that's the number one job, because sometimes guys get stuck.
That's the cardinal sin.
Yeah, they get caught in a replay, and all of a sudden the ball gets snapped.
It feels like a pretty big sin when you don't replay the
Yeah, but you get your ass chewed by New York.
Yeah.
If you miss a live play, any snap, you're dead.
Yeah.
And especially
in a moment like that when it's, you know, fourth quarter,
there was a lot of time between
that didn't end on the next play.
That pass, I'm telling you, the time, if you didn't get to a replay because you were afraid of missing a snap, then you had, after that missed extra point, when you're doing the game, every time they put a drive summary up, after every scoring drive, they put a drive summary up.
I don't care if it would have been like after the Chiefs got the ball. Hey, Tony, let's go back to that pivotal pass interference call.
That's what I was going to say.
Jim.
I think that I could see them being afraid to play it right off the bat because they're afraid of missing a snap. But they should have remembered it, and they should have come back to it. My guess is they kind of forgot about it. And got caught up in the rest of the game. The clock management by the Chargers.
Too many people in that truck to let that happen.
I agree.
There it is.
I agree.
There it is.
I agree. But I'm just that's what I can see happening is them like we don't want to miss the next couple steps.
Okay.
And then they got wrapped up in the other moments of so many other big moments.
I'll accept that excuse for a pass interference call in the middle of the second quarter.
Right.
Not acceptable for the end of the game.
I actually know some guys in that truck. I'm gonna.
Get on their ass.
I'm going to text them right now.
Burn some bridges here. Let them know we're pissed. But four turnovers. That'll lose you just about every game you play. If you lose the turnover battle.
Dick Vermeil will be reading those numbers off.
Yeah.
I go minus four at home. You know, 10%. The thing is, they were minus three, and they had the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands with 2 minutes to go, and I was sure they were going to win. You know?
Well, yeah.
We all were.
But then another turnover happened, so that was four.
Yep.
And he's part of the blame. It's a group effort there. Everybody got in on it. Marcus Camp, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, CBS Replay.
Hey, man.
Defense.
Offensive line. I mean, put Mahomes under some pressure. Sometimes he got beat a lot of times. Made Mahomes make throws that were tough.
Mm-hmm.
That plays into it.
We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Welcome back to the show. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Ian Rappaport just gave, and it's no new information, but we're going to play everything that we hear for you. On Good Morning Football on NFL Network just a few minutes ago, Ian Rappaport was on and gave a quick update on Andy Reid.
Okay, a somewhat scary situation for Super Bowl winning head coach Andy Reid. Following the game, he felt ill, according to the team, and he left from the stadium in an ambulance. He was taken to University of Kansas Health System for further evaluation. Our reporter James Palmer reported earlier that players were told Andy Reid was going to be okay, saw the ambulance leave from the stadium to the hospital. As the team said in the statement last night, Andy Reid fell ill. He was evaluated by medical staff in the locker room. This was a precaution. He was then taken to the hospital for further evaluation. At the time of the announcement, he was resting and in stable condition. I talked to a source close to him last night who said at that time Reid was feeling dehydrated. He needs rest, and he should be fine. Obviously, we will have more information today as it comes and hope for the best for Andy Reid.
So there's the latest update from Ian Rappaport on Good Morning Football. Would you like a snap count update on some of the players we were monitoring as far as playing time?
Oh, boy.
Now, why do you say, oh, boy?
I feel like we're going to get...
Who do you want to know about? You guys ask. I got the snap counts right here. Our man Matt Derrick just tweeted them out.
Well, the first one everybody's going to want to know about is Juan Thornhill.
Yes. So 66 total defensive snaps. Think about it. You want to guess now or you want to think about
it? Let's think about it.
Both of you think about it. Don't be looking it up. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, let's hear a couple of clips from Patrick Mahomes, huh? Let's play number three. Here's Patrick Mahomes on the miscommunication with Kelsey on the interception.
No, I mean, it was just misconnection. He rolled out, and I thought he was about to roll, like, kind of towards the sideline. I was going to throw it up with him, and he usually is pretty good at jumping up and catching those. And then right when I threw it, he kind of cut back, and it's one of those things where I probably shouldn't throw it, especially in that situation, but there's been many times we've made that work and made a big play on it.
And then with the pick with where you were trying to find Travis Kelce, was that one of these moments where you guys were improvising and it just, like, I just wonder if you can elaborate on that?
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, if you look, he kind of rolls to the right, and he saw me, we actually kind of talked about it, he saw me kind of reset, and usually when I reset, he kind of cuts back, and I usually find him. That's where we saw the touchdown in Baltimore last week. But at the exact time I was releasing it, he kind of went to reset. It happens. I mean, obviously, we want to take care of the football in that situation. But we've made a lot of big plays happen in my career on that, so I'll never lose that kind of part of me.
There's another play in a game that I thought was very important. Third quarter, 5-plus minutes left. Remember, Mahomes had the big scramble. They got called back because of a penalty, and he got lit up inside the 5-yard line and fumbled and got his own fumble back. A couple of people tweeted out that he was talking to the trainer or getting looked at after that. After they scored the touchdown, after the drive. And that was, he got hit hard,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He was holding his side after that. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
Let's play number seven. Here's Patrick Mahomes on that big hit and fumble.
Yeah, it wasn't much. I probably should have slid. Everybody told me I probably should have slid, but I was trying to score a touchdown. It wasn't the hit that hurt me. I just fell directly on the football, which is a good thing and a bad thing. So I kind of the breath. I just lost my breath, but I was on it the entire time.
You looked a little bit sore after that play. Are you feeling okay now?
Yeah, I feel fine. I just couldn't breathe at the time. I was trying to kind of catch my breath. And when you when you full weight of you and the guy behind you falls directly with the football on your in your stomach, it usually doesn't feel too good.
Because he got up and he was holding like his side, his abdomen area or whatever, ribs, something in there, and I was like, oh God, no.
He seemed like he was wincing in pain for a few plays after that.
Please, no. So, I don't know. I mean, you think he's underplaying? I mean, that he got lit up. He needs to slide or get out of bounds. I'm sorry. I know he's trying to score a touchdown, man, but imagine this team without him.
No.
Right.
Don't say that.
Well, I'm saying that because I want him to slide next time or,
yeah,
you know.
Yep. We'll have more chances to score a touchdown there.
And screw that football if that hurt Patrick Mahomes. CBS showed a replay of that. Can't show the replay of the pass interference, though, at the end of the game, on fourth down. Nah, just go on. Just ignore it. Wasn't a big play. Mm-hmm. It's Jake's fault. We'll be back after this on WHB. Thanks for watching us on 38 The Spot. Coming up, we'll talk to Todd Lebo, Gary Lezak, Sam Ellinger, Bill Moss, and Adam Teicher. And we'll find out why CBS refused to replay the biggest play or penalty of the game. Still don't know why. Do we, Jake?